Welcome to Flourishing Fully Podcast. Today I'm excited to speak with Ron Schlegel. I recently met Ron and was excited about his unique abilities and the unique techniques that he uses. Ron is a therapist who has intuitive and clairsentient abilities beyond the ordinary. He's able to consciously connect to the energetics of the person and their external environment, including family, workplace, and community. One of Ron's outstanding abilities is to assist in the realignment of those energies. He does so skillfully, thereby fostering a healthy relationship to self, which is critical for healing the body while also uplifting the person's ability for life satisfaction and success. Ron attunes to the beliefs, attitudes, expectations, emotions, and the energetic forces at work within us, as well as the quantum field of energy connecting us and the environment we inhabit. Ron, that's what I speak about all the time, that we have to connect to source in order to connect to the pure potentiality of zero-point energy that facilitates recovery of any kind, particularly health. I'm really excited about this interview because we have an opportunity to embrace the mind-body-spirit connection to facilitate health. And Ron has an amazing ability as an empathic to assist people in doing that. So Ron, welcome. I'm so excited to explore your unique abilities. How long have you been a therapist?
Well, first of all, thank you for the introduction. It was kind of formal. And I don't want people to get the message that I see myself as a very formal person. I have learned a lot about myself and about people and about being connected to divine, to source, and how important that is. I've been a therapist for over 35 years, and I committed myself to growing and changing. I think probably the most important thing for me overall has been that process of growth and change in myself. And as I've grown and changed, I think I've been able to help other people too through that process. So we're all human beings. We all have stuff. And I've had a lot of fun kind of learning about myself and learning about other people. They've taught me a lot. And over the years, I've started to integrate more and more some of those alternative things into my practice because as I learned and grew myself, I realized that we're all connected on some level and that our spiritual aspect is a very important part of what we do and who we are. So I've learned to integrate those two things.
So you were trained as a traditional therapist to begin with.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I spent a lot of years using traditional therapy and being frustrated to some degree. I've seen progress in people and, you know, they've given me good feedback, you know, I've seen them grow and change, but there's always been a sense that something was missing. So I'm so glad that I was able to start integrating alternative therapies.
Great. And which alternative therapies do you integrate?
The one that started me on this journey probably more than any has been Psyche. Psyche was started by Rob Williams. And what he learned was that the subconscious mind is very powerful. In fact, research shows that about 95% of our behavior is driven by the subconscious mind. So when you think about that, that's really significant. Consciously, we're not as much control as we'd like to think we are. Our subconscious mind is like this vast warehouse of information. And we've put all this stuff into our subconscious mind starting at an early age. And if people believe in past lifetimes, we even carry things around in our subconscious mind that are stored there from past lives. So that's all programming that's running in the background that's driving our behavior and causing us to act a certain way, think a certain way, feel a certain way. Our life is somewhat of a creation based on those beliefs that we have about ourselves and the thoughts that we have stored in our subconscious level, the traumas that we've had from our earlier years or past lifetimes. So all of those things are leading up to who we are now and the kind of life we're living. So if we want to make real change, we've got to make it on a deep level. We've got to make it on a subconscious level. We've got to go back into that vast warehouse of information and work with it, clear it out, so that we can start being the kind of person we want to be.
So that's the kind of work that Bruce Lipton has often spoken about.
Yeah, I'm a great fan of his. He wrote this book, Biology of Belief, and it's so true. There is this very strong body-mind connection that we have. And he's gone so far as to prove it as a scientist that our beliefs impact our biology, and not only just our biology, but even down to the gene level. A lot of scientists nowadays are saying, we're the product of our genes. He's saying, no, that's not true. We're the product of our beliefs and other things that are happening in our lives.
Yeah, and he actually calls that epigenetics, how the environment can impact or upregulate or downregulate the genetic expression.
Yeah. And, I hope people are getting the idea how excited I get about this. Now, here I am, a therapist doing traditional therapy, but then I start to learn that there's a whole world out there that's cutting edge, that's allowing us to be much more effective and much more efficient at helping people change on an emotional level. But even that change on an emotional level can have physical consequences. There can be positive impact on one's biology if they really change their limiting beliefs. And there's
right. So a lot of the people that I work with as a physician or as a health coach have chronic illness. Can you speak to the issue of limiting beliefs that sabotage people's desire to recover?
Yeah, going back to Bruce Lipton and Rob Williams, they have put a lot of emphasis on looking at what one's epigenetic origin is for their physical illness. So what was the original cause of that illness? Now, I have to say here, I'm not a doctor. I don't have that kind of experience, but I think we can all relate to the fact that there is a body-mind connection. So I'm going to even give you an example of what I'm talking about in a minute. So epigenetic origin means is that there was some kind of an event or a belief or trauma in one's past that kind of started this growth of this particular illness or development of this particular illness. Now, one example I have is early on when I started working in psyche, I had a colleague of mine walk into my office with a migraine headache. And she'd suffered from migraines for many years on a regular basis. She had no idea that I had just learned psyche, but she was asking to be able to leave so that she can go see a doctor and get some help for a migraine because she had it now for several days in a row and wasn't able to function very well. So I just proposed to her that I learned something new and I wanted to see if I could be of some help. And she was willing to do anything at that point to see if, that migraine could improve. So we sat down and I asked her, I just thought to ask her, what was the earliest time in your life, excuse me, when you have memories of having migraines? I was looking for that epigenetic origin. I was looking for that time when that migraine started to get triggered. And she took a moment and she said, oh my goodness, I think I was around 10 or 12. And I said, well, what was happening around that time period? And she said, well, I don't know if it's connected or not, but my father tried to murder my mother.
Wow.
And I said, oh, well, there might be a connection between those two things. So if you're willing to play around with that, why don't we do that? So we use Psyche, which is a process for getting at the subconscious mind. It's not hypnosis. It's based in neuroscience. It's a way of changing the neural pathways in our brain. So she was volunteered to go ahead through with the process. And it was only a matter of a minute or two, and her migraine went away. And she, in the middle of the balance, and in Psyche, those processes are called balances because they deal with the left and right hemispheres of the brain. So she went, oh, my goodness, my headache is gone. And so that was, like, so telling for me because I have, was very new to using Psyche and just kind of got me so much more energized into using it more and more with the people I work with. And you know what's interesting, too, is she's never had a migraine since, and it's been years since we worked together because we've remained friends. So, you know, it's an honor to be able to help people through chronic conditions like that. And I can't say that everybody's going to have the same kind of results, but I am convinced that a lot of times there are what's called epigenetic origins to one's physical problems.
And if they aren't epigenetic origins, they certainly can be limiting beliefs that can hold people back from
That's correct.
Recovery.
Yes. If you believe you can, or if you believe you can't, you're correct. And it was Henry Ford who said that, something like that. I paraphrase it. And see, so we have to be careful about what we believe about our ability to from a physical illness.
Right, and it's true, don't you think, that people can say, of course I want to get well, but that there can be this massive like an iceberg, you know, the tip of the iceberg is saying, yes, I want to get well, but there's this massive energy that's saying you don't deserve to be well, or you can't get well, or this is, you know, you better get used to it. This is just how it's going to be. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. Yes. And there's a unique quality about the subconscious mind that I think people should know, and that it processes information much faster than the conscious mind. To use a computer analogy, the conscious mind processes information about 4,000 bits of information per second. The subconscious mind processes information about 4 million bits of information per second. And what's significant about that is it makes the subconscious mind much more powerful than the conscious mind. So when you say to yourself on a conscious level something positive, your subconscious mind is saying probably 4 or 5 or 10 things more on a negative, in a negative way, to counter it. Right?
Exactly.
So there's this energy struggle going back and forth between your conscious and your subconscious mind. And if your subconscious mind is programmed with so many negative beliefs, it's going to obviously win out over the conscious mind.
Yeah,
you've got to go in there and clear out those negatives on the subconscious level, and then the conscious can start to win.
Yeah, that's so powerful and so true. I'm reminded of an experience I had recently in the post office, where this a long line, and a mother came in with her son, and the son was amazing. And one of the people in the line said, "Oh, what a great kid you have," something to that effect. And she said, "Well, he's not always like that."
Right.
And she could have just accepted the compliment graciously, but instead she gave, "What is that little boy here? You know,
yes.
Oh,
yes.
I'm not always
yes.
good. I'm not good, you know."
Yeah.
And she's a, you know, looked like a wonderful mother, but she wasn't in conscious, you know, she didn't have the mindset, the consciousness of what the words could do to that child.
Yes. And that's a great example of how we get programmed. If you think about it, that happens a lot to us. And the younger we are, the more deeply ingrained those things get.
So you have techniques to chip away at those techniques. Sometimes with, like the example you gave them, they can be immediate, and other times, what's the time frame for the kinds of things that you do?
Yeah, you know, it's not black and white, but if I was to compare traditional therapy to what I do now, there is quite a difference. So generally, people who went to a therapist traditionally would spend a year or two in therapy, and they'd make some progress, but maybe not as much as they'd like. What I see in what I do now is anywhere from 3 to 7 sessions, I see huge changes in people, and that can take place in a matter of a month or two.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. The other thing that I like about what you do is, well, in traditional therapy, they're always looking at the past and what was wrong, you know, and with the law of attraction, I think it's so important to be in the now and move, you know, and look at what's right. So your techniques embrace that.
Yes. Yes. You know, and people will tend to think, oh my God, do I really want to go on a deep level into my subconscious and find out what's there? I'm kind of afraid of it. Well, what's nice about these processes is that they're actually very user-friendly. A person may feel some pain and cry and that kind of thing when they're going in and kind of clearing out something, but they'll only do it for a very brief period of time instead of carrying around this ball and chain for their whole life.
Right, and these techniques can be done by Skype or on the phone.
Yes, thanks for asking. That's the great advantage of these techniques is you don't need to do this in person. And it's hard for people to understand that, but I want to say that, you know, we're all connected on some level. So, you know, what's happened to me is I'm using Psyche, I've opened up and I've become very sensitive and intuitive, and it's just easy for me to get a sense of where people are at and what their core issues are. It helps me to be a lot more efficient at what I do, too.
I've had a session with Ron, and it was wonderful. It was super helpful, super fast, very compassionate, very empathic, and I really enjoyed it. So do you think this helped people? Who are most of your clients? How would you categorize them? What kind of people are receptive to these techniques?
You know, I'm kind of surprised to say this myself, but just about everyone. It seems like a lot of us really know on a deep level that there's more going on here than we're consciously aware of. A lot of people are very open to making deep and real change just because they're ready to. They really want to. So in my traditional work, I've worked with people who have severe mental illness, psychoses, major depression, bipolar. So I've worked with a broad range of people, and I still do that today, work a 9-to-5 job, working with people that have severe mental illness, but I also have a private practice, and I have people who are coming to me just because they want to clear their blocks around making more money or addressing an unresolved issue that they haven't been able to figure out how to deal with in terms of family relationships or whatever. So a broad range of people are really open to this. I will have to say that I work more with women than I do with men. Women generally tend to be a little bit more open than men to these kinds of things. However, using Psyche, if I'm one-on-one with a man and I use the muscle testing, which we may want to talk about a little bit, applied kinesiology, they are usually very impressed by that. It's a concrete result that they can see that demonstrates to them that they actually made a shift in the way they feel about something.
Can you do muscle testing long distance?
Long distance, like over the internet, I do the muscle testing on myself on behalf of the person that I'm working with.
And it's amazing that that's effective, right?
Yes.
Because we are all connected.
Yeah, the purpose of muscle testing is really, in this case, to communicate with the subconscious mind. We want to make sure that we understand what the subconscious mind is really thinking and feeling. It can be very different than what the conscious mind is thinking and feeling. So that's the purpose of doing the muscle testing. Because the subconscious mind really can't lie. It's going to tell you the truth in terms of what it feels. You know, unconsciously, you can say you love yourself, but on a subconscious mind, you know, you do some muscle testing and it's just very weak. And, you know that there's something in the way of you really believing that.
Right, right. So it is actually effective. You're able to connect with the individual that you're having a session with and be able to muscle test yourself to see that person's reaction, which is a big mindset change for a lot of people to appreciate that that's possible and it's not a scam.
Right. Now, I can teach people how to do it over the internet, and I have had people who have already had experience muscle testing, so they're happy to test on themselves to double-check the work.
So that would be a huge, huge treat for us. Could you give us a snippet of how we can muscle test ourselves?
Yes. You know, and there's more than one way. There's actually a number of different ways you can muscle test, and I had this experience myself, and other people have told me one way works for them, whereas another one they have more difficulty with. I can't explain why that is, but it's we kind of have to play around with it and find that way that works for us. One way that you can start out with to try is just to hold up your arm, you know, if you can see me, it's just straight out in front of you, and then take your other hand on top of your wrist and push down on your arm like this as a leverage. So you can start out with something you already know and the answer to, and you see if you get consistent results.
Like, my name is Sally, or...
That's correct.
My name is George.
Right. So my name is Ron, and I would push on my hand, right? And if I'm getting a clear signal, that's going to be strong. It's going to stay pretty firm. However, if I say my name is Sally, the arm is most likely to go down. Now, the more anxious we are about the results, it's going to interfere with the answers. So you want to be kind of relaxed and calm and open, staying open and curious rather than worrying about what kind of an answer you're going to get. So that's why you practice it a little bit to see, if that's going to work for you or not. Don't give up right away. Try it a few times. Now, you'll see on the internet, if you want to, you can Google muscle testing, and there are different people teaching different methodologies for how to muscle test. One that you'll see online a lot is where you interlock your two fingers and you pull them apart to see, like, my name is Ron, my name is Sally, and you just see if you can notice a difference there. So I encourage people to go on the internet and play around with that. The technique for me that works really well is I use my head as a pendulum. So my name is Ron, my head's going to go back and forth like this, and then if my name is Sally, it tends to go left and right. For some reason, I just really take to that methodology, and it really works well over the internet because people don't even hardly notice I'm doing anything.
Right. I very often, if I'm testing a food substance, I'll hold it close to my heart chakra, and if I lean into it, means
yes, it's that's good. A great example.
And if I lean away from it, then it's like, you know, I have some subtle allergy or reason that I shouldn't be utilizing that particular product.
Yes, there's even another strategy that some people I've heard like, and that is salivation. So they think a positive thing, they tend to salivate. And if they think a negative thing, they don't. It's like so interesting. There's so many different ways to do this.
Yeah, the body is so responsive and so intelligent. And I think what's amazing about what you do is that you help people to tap into that. And you, and if they aren't able to do it on their own, you're there to guide them to do it. And that's very powerful.
You know, the subconscious mind is always communicating with us all the time, and it's communicating, like I said, in a pretty fast way. So when we can start to tune into that, we can start to understand what it is we're saying to ourselves. So many of us are walking around with this programming that's running in the background saying, you're not good enough, you're not lovable, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never get healthy. And boy, don't we want to get rid of that stuff? Don't we want to start saying something better to ourselves?
Absolutely. And I see that with the chronically ill people, they become so downtrodden that they buy into it, you know. And they will actually say, I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, affirmations don't work for me. Well, that's because the subconscious is so powerful and, you know, that it's overriding their ability to keep their focus. So I was looking at your website and the amount of things that this is helpful, the kind of techniques that you do. You list improved performance at work, improved health, improved life satisfaction, improved sleep, increase in self-esteem, clarity of life purpose, joy and sense of fulfillment, improved relationships, finding a wonderful partner, reduced physical pain and tension. I mean, so many people with chronic illness have pain. And you list others. So, again, for our audience, Ron is a master at helping you to tap into the subconscious part of you that's holding your recovery back. And I invite you to contact Ron. Ron, where can people find you?
My website is www.neurospiritualscience.com. That's N-E-U-R-O, spiritualscience.com. And they can call me too if they want, 607-377-7725. It's my cell phone.
He is a super guy. I just so enjoy knowing Ron. Ron, is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to share? I mean, I know you have a wealth of information, but in this short interview, what's the takeaway for people?
Don't see yourself as a victim.
Wow, that's powerful. Don't see yourself as a victim.
Yeah, we have the ability and the power to change on a very deep level.
Those are awesome words. Could you say it one more time? I really want people to hear that powerful statement.
Yeah, don't see yourself as a victim. We're very powerful beings. We can change on a deep level.
Ron, thank you so much. Been an awesome interview. It's been awesome to have this information that we can get out to people about their abilities and the ability to change.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.